There is a parable that Solomon saw, and he wrote in the book of Ecclesiastes. He says, I've seen servants upon horses and princes walking upon the face of the earth. And Solomon was prophetically looking into something, prophetically. And what he meant by that, you had three parts there. You had a servant, you had a horse, and a prince. Just like we have a spirit, a soul, and a body. Our spirit man is the heir of God. He's new. He's created as a new creation. He's the heir of the Most High God. You could call him the prince. We're sons of the Father. Amen. When Solomon saw that the servant had the reins of the horse and the prince was walking behind them, he said, there's something very much out of alignment here. Number one, that prince should have been riding the horse. The servant should have been the one walking behind them. The prince should have had the reins of the horse. And if your spirit man is in charge of your life, it'll have the reins of your body. And it'll direct your body to the right, to the left. Your body will not be directing you. Your flesh will not be directing you. And your soul will not be directing you. Your spirit. And we get that kind of alignment where the spirit man is in the ascendancy. He has the reins of the flesh. Amen. If you don't have the reins of your flesh will get away from you very fast. Amen. If you don't have the reins, you have to have the reins. You got to keep the reins. Paul said, I am not one that beats the air. I keep my body under. Amen. I don't know why God designed it like this, but we have this treasure in the earthen vessel. It's a glorious treasure inside, but we still live in an earthen vessel. This vessel can lift our hands and praise God, and he can go right out of the world. And so we have to stay in alignment, and we got to put the soul behind. Amen. You let your soul run your life, your mind, will, and emotions, you let it run your life, and it'll get you out of order. The whole key, the kingdom of God, if you're going to stay free, it's not about just getting free, you have to stay free. You can get free, and you can get rebound. The key to the kingdom is to get free, stay free. And to stay free, we have to stay in alignment. The whole thing with the kingdom of God is alignment. It's like finances. People's finances get out of order and they wonder why things are happening all the time. First thing you got to do is just check your alignment. Are you putting God first? He doesn't ask for much. He likes to be first. You ever notice about God? He likes to be first in everything. Boy, if I don't give him the first part of my day does not go well. I don't miss very many days. One in about 60 or 70 days I'll miss now. I just don't do that. I don't want to walk out uncovered. I've been covered and I've been uncovered. I know the difference. Amen. The Bible says, be sober, be vigilant. You have enemies like a roaring lion. He's seeking somebody to devour, but he can't touch you. The thief cometh, but he has no place in me. If you're in alignment, say alignment. So the key, if you're going to fix anything in your life, fix the alignment issue. Amen. Father, show us. We thank you. Answer our prayer over this day, over this week, over this month. This is a new day. It's a new month. Show us where we're out of alignment. Show us what area. And then, Father, grant us grace to come in alignment that we don't have to do things on our own strength. We ask for grace to come into alignment. Grace, say grace, grace and more grace. Amen. Glory to God. Sharon called me. I'm like, what is she calling me this morning for? And she goes, Pastor. Because usually somebody calls you early on Sunday morning, something's wrong, they need to fix something. And she goes, Pastor. I'm like, glory, something has happened. So she's been fasting. And but tell them what happened. Hallelujah.
Well, I'm on day 16, but it's not total food. I get one raw salad a day, and you know, so so it's not 100%. But what happened was last night, it was like about 2 a.m, all of a sudden, I just sat straight up in bed, and my eyes and the spirit, it looked like there were these huge saucers, and Jesus appeared in my room. And he walked, he had his, I could only see him from about his legs down, and he had his robes, and he had sandaled feet, you know, and they were much more tan than me, you know. And so, and he walked. He was in the air, and he was about this high, and he walked from this side of the room, from the left side to the right side of the room. And I knew that there was a couple things. One is that every night I've been asking the Father and God to watch over my sleep. So I had the instant understanding that when you pray for something, it literally happens. He was showing me a literal representation of my prayer, that when you pray, it does happen. And then the second thing is that because he came in his teacher, shepherd clothes, I knew he was saying, come follow me. Because I had had another encounter where I was on my knees, and at this time, it was probably about 15 years ago, and he said, put the ministry on the shelf and come follow me. And so little did I know how much work I needed at that point. I was involved in a lot of ministries, and I had to begin just laying them one down after another, and including having an invitation to work with Steve Hill's ministry. And I had to tell him, and face to face, I said, I'm sorry, I can't do that, and moved to Dallas. And so, anyways, I just felt like I was a representative of the body of Christ, that the season that we're moving in, Bob Jones said, it's time for the Rose of Sharon to bloom. His prophetic word that he knew it was after his death, that the Lord was going to be pouring out an anointing of God to return and to be restored to the first love. And so I've been exercising my faith, setting an end target for my faith to see Jesus and to encounter him. And my faith is set to encounter him on a daily basis, because he does it for other people, and we're his sons and daughters. And he's returning us back to the garden where their eyes are open in the spirit. So I felt like it was a carrot that he was putting out for us, for each one of us, that we can see and we can encounter him. And I want to have more. And this is a season from Luke 24 on the walk to Emmaus, where he opened up their understanding first. Then he opened up their eyes to see. But they said, abide with us. The evening has come. Abide with us.
Glorious. Wow. It's interesting, the timing of this, because when I came into the Father's love, since October, I had laid that constitution down for 3 months. I just didn't want to do anything but just love and be loved, you know, by the Father. And I started picking that back up, and the Father was beginning to speak to me about the time of this incredible apostolic reformation that's going to end the age. I know some of you think you're going to live out 100 years, but that's just not going to happen in our generation. We are in the generation that the Father, the Lord Jesus, is going to return. Amen. We're going to see him in all of his glory, but he's going to raise his church up before he does that and display the glory of God. This season that we're entering in with the body of Christ will be not just the revelation of the high priest and Christ, our sacrificial lamb, but it'll be the revelation of the King. Amen. Jesus, the King of Kings. He's going to bear the testimony to the world. He's already setting the global stage right now for this testimony to be released all over the earth. And we're going to see every move of God that's happened in all of history be culminated in one season, where the body of Christ, a remnant bride, will be raised up. Say, raised up. Anointed with dominion. And we're in this season, and for this to happen, the apostolic office must come into fullness again. Doctrinally, the doctrine, the revelation of the resurrection and the right hand of God, and the corporate eyewitness. Amen. I don't know if people don't understand this, but the entire early church, the whole 120 in the upper room saw the Lord in a resurrected state. Every apostle saw the Lord in a resurrected state after he was raised from the dead. It was part of their testimony to the world. Even Matthias, that took Judas's place, he had to have seen the Lord. He said, one must be ordained to bear witness. He had to have been with us from the baptism of John all the way to the day he was taken up. One must bear witness. So all of the early church and everybody around them saw the Lord. I thought this was very interesting that he walked through her room this morning, because I've been praying this very thing myself over the last 2 weeks, because I know the timing. See, for God to, this is not even my message, but for God, but since this has happened, we're going with it. Hallelujah. For God to fully restore the apostolic office, it cannot just be a title of apostle. There must be the components of the full apostolic office. It must have the demonstration, the signs. It has to have the doctrine. And it has to be laden and founded with a corporate eyewitness. It's not just to see the Lord. Look, we don't need to see the Lord to believe. We're not Thomas here. We all say, I believe already. How many of you believe already? We're not looking to see him to believe. We're not looking to see him for a sensation. It's all about testimony. It's going to bear first-hand eyewitness testimony. If I saw a wreck and Carson and I were in the car, I saw a wreck and Carson and I couldn't go, and I sent JP to the judge. I said, JP, listen, we saw a wreck. They need a witness. You know, you're my second son. So you go and tell the judge what Carson and I saw. What judge would take his testimony? They would not take his testimony. Even if he was my very own son, he wouldn't do it. Why? Because it was not eyewitness. Amen. There is a level of testimony. We testify by faith, but under the apostolic mandate, it'll all be eyewitness testimony. So that witness will be restored fully, not just to the apostles, but everybody around them. Amen. The prophets and the apostles and the whole work. And you're going to see this become a common experience throughout the land. You're going to see the Lord begin reappearing. Why do you think he ate with them? He didn't just eat with them for no reason. He wanted them to know, you're not seeing a spirit here, a ghost. I am here with you in person. Give me something to eat. And he ate with them. Could you imagine the Lord walking through the room and then breaking bread with you and eating? He said, touch me, touch me. Why did he do that? Why was he doing that? It's because he wanted them to know, you're not seeing a spirit here. I must establish the fact that I am been raised from the dead, and you are literally touching me and you're eating with me, because this is me. He was establishing their firsthand testimony. And then he broke the books open. He opened the books of the law and he showed them who he was. And then they went out and preached that. And their first messages was the resurrection, right hand of God. Say, resurrection, right hand of God. And the power of God with great power gave the apostles eyewitness testimony. That's what's going to shift. When that shift comes like that, there'll be a level of demonstration that comes to the office. So with her calling me this morning, you know, at first I said, hey, you know, I got a little bit of like, why her God? Why not me first? How come not me first? I mean, you know, I'm praying too, Lord. And the Lord said, who saw me first? The women. He said, believe what I'm doing. Believe what I'm doing, because I'm telling you right now, from my position in God, this is about to start happening. You might as well know it. I'm telling you, I have a whole series on, if you're interested, called The Corporate Eyewitness. I mean, we lay it down. God's been appearing to people from Genesis to Revelation. He does it for a very specific reason. And when God appears, he backs. Once he appears like that for testimonial purposes, he will back everything you say, because you're saying in first person eyewitness. It's part of being sent. Amen. It's part of the commissioning process, especially into the apostolic. Glory to God. This is all coming into place. Amen. All of this is coming to alignment. These are some of the things that God is doing. Praise the Lord.
I just wanted to say that his presence was just so commanding that instantly I just was awake. It was like 2 a.m, instantly sat up, was awake, and was looking out of my eyes. And I believe that it's an invitation. It's an invitation. It's an opening saying our eyes are open. And it says in Revelations 4:1, behold, look, the door to heaven is open. It's an invitation.
Glory. We're going to see him in this generation. See, in the early church, they were there laying the foundation. He was the high priest, and he was the sacrificial lamb. And they preached the blood of Jesus because they were laying the foundation for the early church. Amen. The latter-day church will not only preach that, but they'll also testify of him as being king of kings, king of the earth and all of its resources. He's going to release the resources of this earth for a season to his people, he that has ears to hear. And when he does, his people are going to do some of the most extraordinary things with that power. And with that dominion he's going to release. We're living in this age right now. I have another series called The Golden Lampstand if you're interested in what's about to happen next. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Believe it or not, it's all been played out in the book of Revelation. The first 6 chapters speaks of the coming move of God. Not coming. I think we're like shifting into it right now globally. Amen. God is aligning his people. And when he releases it, whoa. Hang on. Praise the Lord. Hang on. Glory to God. So let's give the Lord glory. Hallelujah. What I wanted to do is Rick Joyner wrote about this. Listen, whenever God brings you into something like we've been talking about, the love of the Father, and I've been trying to, here's what I've been trying to say, and I want you to understand this, because I'm going to read some of his book today. It's so confirming to where we are. It's just amazing. How many of you ever heard of this book, Final Quest? I would highly encourage you to read this book. I've read it probably 10 times, and I'm telling you, top 5, maybe top 3 of this entire century. It's just that important. It has so much to say about where we are. Whenever God brings in, one of the things I've been trying to tell people about the love of the Father is how different the love of the Father is, or how much fuller it is when you actually make it to the top of the mountain versus God coming and visiting you with his love here. And he speaks about this. In fact, this whole book is about the mountain of God being established into the earth and the different levels of truth of that mountain and people climbing and the warfare and the base of the mountain. It was salvation and the warfare around it. And it was just extraordinary the way the Lord showed him this. In each level, they would climb. Different denominations would come to different levels and they would settle into the mountain. But then others would keep climbing. Some would settle in certain levels of truth. And they would build their whole ministry around those truths, and they would hold that truth down. It was part of God's mountain. But then others, to become more effective, they kept climbing and climbing and climbing and climbing. And each time they climbed, they were given more weaponry. Each time they climbed, they were given more operations of the Spirit of God. So they got to this level called Galatians 2:20. It says, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, he said the mountain got very steep. It was hard to stay grounded until they got to the top where there was a place called Galatians 2:20. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yeah, now that's a place where you're not living for self anymore, that you've been crucified in him. Nevertheless, I live, but Christ liveth in me. He said, when we got to that level, everything was full of rest and it was full of peace. You know what I said? That is the rest. That was the rest. He said it was easy to stay there. I remember when the Lord led me into the rest. It was easy to stay there. It was easy to walk upon. And all, a lot of your warfare began to dissipate when that happened. And he says they were there, and a lot of them, but a lot of them stayed in that area because it was so free, but then they went on higher up into that mountain. And this is where I want to read to you from this point on, because it talks about the top of the mountain. It talks about the prophets that were already in the top of the mountain. That's where they live. They don't have any other place but there. Hallelujah. And it's just amazing how all this is converging. But I just want to read a few things. It says, almost without warning, we came to a level that opened up into a garden. Now they get into the top of the mountain now. It was the most beautiful place I'd ever seen. Over the entrance of this garden, listen very careful, was written the Father's unconditional love. This entrance was so glorious and so inviting that we could not resist entering in. As soon as I entered, you'll love this, because Mike keeps telling me, I keep seeing a tree. I get up into the Father, I keep seeing the tree of life there. I'm like, I don't see the tree of life, but I sure feel it. But he keeps seeing, Mike's a seer. He says, as soon as I entered, I saw the tree that I knew was the tree of life, sitting in the top of the garden. You're going to like this, prophets, all of you. Listen to this. It was in the middle of the garden, and it was still guarded by angels of awesome power and authority. When I looked at them, they looked back. They seemed friendly, as though they had been expecting us. I looked back, and there was now a host of other warriors in the garden. This gave us all courage. And because of the angels' demeanor, we decided to pass them to get to the tree. Amen. One of the angels called out, those who make it to this level, who know the Father's love, can eat. Whew. They can freely eat. I can testify of this. When I started moving into the Father's love, oh, you can go. I kept telling, I said, you can eat as much as you want. It's so full. It's so complete. It's so amazing. I just listen to his words. You've heard mine already. I did not realize how hungry I was. When I tasted the fruit, it was better than anything I have ever tasted, but it was also somehow familiar. With every bite, listen to this, I loved everything and everyone more. Then my enemies started coming to mind, and I love them too. It's one thing to love your friends and family. When you start loving your enemies, listen, you're going to need God's love to love your enemies with. And this love I came into got tested. Praise the Lord. You'll find out you can love the most unlovely situation, because that's what the Father's love does for you. The feeling was soon greater than anything I'd ever experienced, even on the peace of Galatians 2:20, when we had first reached that level. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, this is now, listen to this, your daily bread. It shall never be withheld from you. You may eat as much and as often as you like, and there's no end to my Father's love. Isn't that glorious? I'm like, woo, let's give God glory. Hallelujah. It is true. It's so full. When I came in this place, I mean, you're going along in ministry for 18 years and you're doing everything you're supposed to do and all this. And all of a sudden you come in this place. I'm like, oh, this is glorious. I looked up into the tree to see where the voice had come from. And I saw it was filled, listen to this, with pure white eagles. Say white eagles. They were sitting in the tree. They had the most beautiful penetrating eyes I'd ever seen. They were looking at me as if I were waiting for instructions. And one of the angels said, they will do your bidding. These eagles eat snakes. And I said, go and devour the shame that has bound our brothers. And they opened their wings with a great wind, came and lifted them in the air. These eagles filled the sky with blinding glory, even as high as we were. And I could hear the sound of terror from the enemy's camp at the sight of the eagles ascending from the mountain. these eagles were the prophets. And they only had one place. They dwelt in the high places, in the tree of life. And they worked with the last day apostolic. The prophets and the apostles worked together. And when they came down from the mountain, when the eagles came down from the mountain, there's a whole nother chapter I won't get to today. They just, all they had to do is come right down to the base of the mountain where all the carnage and the warfare, and they would just flap their wings. And the Spirit of God would just move all evil out. It would move all oppression out. It just move it out, completely out. And freedom and liberty was the result. Listen, it's a necessity that the apostle and the prophets and the pastors and evangelists, they all work together. Because there's certain elements. There's something in the air with the prophetic moving. The apostolic's come to be fully moving. Amen. Before the apostolic office commission, God sent the prophet in. Amen. God does things in order. With John the Baptist, see, he prepares the way. God's always doing things in order. Now listen to this. And the Lord Jesus himself then appeared right in our midst. He took the time to greet each one of us personally, congratulating us for reaching the top of the mountain. Isn't that glorious? Listen, to find the Father's mountain of love, I keep telling people, is one of the greatest things you'll ever do in this life. If you find it, you're going to have a great place in heaven. Glory to God. Everyone say amen. Glory to God. Then he said, we must now share with you what I shared with your brothers after my ascension, the message of my kingdom. See, notice what it is. They get to the Father's love first. Then he starts talking to them about the kingdom. We're trying to manifest the kingdom of God, but we haven't gotten high enough with God to be armed with the proper weaponry and the proper operations of the Spirit so we can manifest the kingdom. Listen, that Islamic church is, you're not going to go over there and have a word debate with them about their religion. That's not how you're going to win them. They're already committed to their God. They're already fully committed. The only way that you're going to win the Islamic world, and there's going to be a mass revival in the Islamic world, the only way they're going to get converted is through mass signs, miracles, wonders, and demonstration of the kingdom of God, because they cannot demonstrate their God. And our God will bring a level of demonstration, see. And that's the only thing that's going to convert them, praise the Lord. And they are going to get converted. So he starts talking about the kingdom. He said, the enemy's most powerful army has now been put to flight, but not destroyed. Now it is time for us to march forth with the gospel of my kingdom. The eagles have been released and they will go with us. We will take arrows from every level. I am your sword. I am your captain. It is now time for the sword of the Lord to be unsheathed. Isn't that amazing? He's given them these revelations in the top of the mountain. Isn't that glorious? I then turned and saw the entire army of the Lord was standing in that garden. There were men, women, children, youth. Amen. From all races and nations, each carrying their banners, which moved in the wind with perfect unity. Isn't that glorious? It was an army. I knew that nothing like this had ever been seen in the earth before. Glory to God. I knew that the enemy had many more armies, fortresses throughout the earth, but none of them could stand before this great army. I said almost under my breath, this must be the day of the Lord. And the whole host answered in awesome thunder, the day of the Lord of hosts has come. Say, the day of the Lord of hosts has come. This is so confirming. We were marched into this garden by the word of the Lord, by keeping his word, by the revelation of John 14, 15, 16, and 17. And those revelations marched us into the mountain of God. We moved into the garden of God under the tree of life. It seemed that the entire army, it seemed that the entire army was there, many of them kneeling before the Lord Jesus. He had just given us the charge to return to the battle for the sake of the brothers. Have I read this part? It was both wonderful and a terrible command. It was wonderful because it came from him, but it was terrible because it implied we had to leave the garden. To leave the manifest presence of the garden. That was more beautiful than any place we'd ever been before. To leave all this, to go back to the earth again, seemed incomprehensible. I know what that feels like. You're in the heavens. It's like, he talked to later on, he goes, when Paul found this place, he never wanted to go back. You want to dwell there. Listen, church is not for us to have a little nice two-shoe message and go on about our business. Church is here for transformation. We must come into the operations of fullness. Like Tina was saying, meat. You got to listen to what God's saying. There's meat on the table right now. As long as you drink milk, you're not going to grow. The Lord continued his exhortation. I've given you spiritual gifts and power and an increasing understanding of my word and my kingdom. Do you hear that? An increasing understanding of my word and kingdom. We must understand the word of God and the kingdom of God in this hour. Hallelujah. But the greatest weapon, oh, I can attest to this. I read this book 10 times over the past. I never heard any of these words until I came in the Father's love. And suddenly, this is the greatest weapon you've ever been given is the Father's love. As long as you walk in my Father's love, you will never fail. The fruit of this tree is the Father's love, which is manifested in me. This love, which is in me, must become, listen to this, your daily bread. I read that. I liked all the other parts of the mountain. I never read that until I came in the Father's love and I saw it. Because I didn't know, you know, you say, love will never fail. You know, we've got the charismatic lingo. We put the thing on our refrigerator door. Love is patient. Love is kind. Like you're going to become all that on your own. Nothing about the gospel requires you. It all requires the Lord. Everything God calls us to do, he says, not by my might, not by my power, but by my spirit. But when it comes to walking in love, you're on your own. You're on your own. Walk in love. Be just like my Father. Be you perfect like my Father. Love your enemies. Bless those that curse you. Do good to those who despitefully use you. I mean, he's going to leave you to do that on your own? We tried that. All of those commandments that look impossible were never designed for you to do in your own flesh. They were designed to come from a relationship with the Father's love. He was going to give you a love. He says, by this shall all men know you are my disciples for your love one to another. He wasn't talking about people. He's talking about the world out there. How would the world, because you are the only extension of the Father's love, they have to see something that's not of this world. And if they're going to see something that's not of this world, then you're going to have to dwell somewhere that's not of this world. Amen? You're going to have to bring something back that's not of this world. And the world's going to see that in our generation. As I ate of the fruit of the tree of life, you're going to like this. The thought of every good thing, this has happened. The thought of every good thing I've ever known filled my soul. When Jesus spake, it was the same, only magnified. I only wanted to do is just stay in this place and listen to him. I remember how I'd once thought it must have been boring for these angels that did nothing but worship him continually before the throne. I mean, oh my God. He goes, now I knew there was nothing more wonderful or exhilarating that we could ever do than to simply worship him. This is what we were created for. And surely be the part of heaven, the best part. I just could not imagine how wonderful it would be if all the heavenly choirs were chiming in. I was almost overwhelmed with the desire to go back and make up those times during worship services. I allowed my mind to wander and drift. See, because he was caught up in the glory the way God really designed it, not what it's become in our day. But God's, I don't know if you've seen it, but he's reemerging true worship now. And the song and the sound of the right hand of God are going to come into the earth with the presence of the right hand of God. I have no idea how long this worship lasted. I could have been minutes or it could have been months. There was just no way of measuring time in that kind of glory. I closed my eyes because the glory I was seeing with my heart was as great as what I was seeing with my physical eyes. I want you to hear this part. This is powerful. When I opened my eyes, I was surprised to see the Lord was not there any longer, but a troop of angels were standing where he had been. One of them approached me and said, "Close your eyes again." And when I did, I beheld the glory of the Lord. This was no small relief, as I knew that I just could not live without the glory now that I had encountered it. And the angel explained, now listen to this very careful. This is powerful, if you'll get this. The angel explained, what you see with the eyes of your heart. How many times have you heard me tell you this? What you see with the eye of your heart, with the eye of faith, is more real than what you see with your physical eyes. What you can do is train the eyes of your heart to see the kingdom of God, and it becomes more real than the world you live in. The angel then began to lead me back to the gate. I protested I did not want to leave. Looking surprised, the angel took me by the shoulders, looked me in the eyes, said, this was when I recognized him, it was wisdom. He says, you never have to leave this garden. But he kept telling him, it's time to take this to the world now. You see that? What have we been preaching? Keep his word. We must go to the Father and be loved. Then our Father will come with us to the earth. Amen. He says, you never have to leave this garden. The garden is in your heart because the Creator himself is within you. You have desired the best part, to worship and to sit in the presence of heaven, and it will never be taken from you. You must take it now from here where it is needed the most. Because some people go, is it all about just going and laying up before God and just being loved, being loved, being loved? I mean, what about the world? See, that's the thing. We got to go and grab, access something that's not of this world. But then there's a time, remember I keep saying this, he's going to send us with it. Amen? But boy, when he sent them, you read on the book, they were empowered. When they come off that mountain, they could go down into the levels of salvation, down in the world, and in the power of God, where they had no power in the beginning. They had power everywhere. They could walk through whole demonic troops unscathed and untouched. And before, they were fighting every demonic thing that ever came against, and they were fighting, 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 and they could walk right through, and the demonic troops would depart from them. They had power coming off this mountain. Glory to God. And the eagles descended and they filled the whole atmosphere with light. They filled it with breakthrough and light and revelation. Wherever they went, wherever the dark clouds were, the eagles, all they did is flap their wings. And the atmosphere of heaven would just clear the place out. Isn't that glorious? I closed my eyes and tried to see the Lord again, but could not. When I opened my eyes, wisdom was still staring at me. With great patience, he continued, you have tasted of the heavenly realm, and no one ever wants to go back to the battle once they do. No one ever wants to leave the manifest presence of the Lord. Because when the Apostle Paul came here, he struggled for the rest of his life whether he should stay or labor for the sake of the church. His inheritance was greatly magnified because he stayed. Isn't that glorious? Glory to God. Let's give God praise. Hallelujah. The next great move in the body of Christ, mark it. See, it's been the move of the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit. Now you're seeing the Jesus movement. The next one is the Father. You'll hear Father, 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 Father's love, Father's love. This is the one we're part of. There were times in my walk with God that I would see certain operations, certain movements. Man, I would go full force into this. I would eat, I mean, just take in everything I could. And I wanted so bad to be a part of that, that there was such an incredible desire to be a part of everything God was doing. But it seemed I couldn't get connected. And I was pushing to get connected. And I would push into relationships, and they just weren't forging. But I wanted it so bad, and then it wasn't happening, and I'd go away from that. And I'm like, I don't understand. That's what I want. And then the next one would come. And I'd push into it, and then it just wouldn't gel. The relationship wouldn't gel the way I wanted them to. You ever done that? It's like you want into a certain area, it's just not happening. Listen, let God be God. Because God may have a place for you to gel and to sink your roots in that's somewhere else. And if you sink your roots in, and then as I began to grow in the Lord, I could see some of those movements that I really just wanted to be a part of. I saw them as, how I say it, I lost my taste for that. Does that make sense? It's like what was so great is I began to grow higher in the Lord wasn't as great. I'd lose my taste for it. It's kind of like Pop-Tarts, where they're so good when you eat them in the beginning, and then after a while you lose your taste for them. And each time I wanted to get there, I thought, this is it, this is it, this is it. And the more I try to get planted in it, the less I could get planted. Have you ever been there? You try to get into something, and or you'd get into something and it would max out. And what was glorious in the beginning, you got ceilinged with it. And it's like it wouldn't feed you anymore. And most people who get like that, they got two choices. They either go higher in the mountain or they spend their life serving that particular arena. And so if your heart has a compass for God, that's so insatiable. If you have an insatiable appetite, you're not going to be able to sit in something all your life that will not take you higher. That's why you're here. Because God called us to go up to His mountain. It's not because we want to have this one big Holy Ghost party all our life and forget about the world. We're trying to get to a place to get the kingdom of God in fullness. And we found that place in the Father's love. And each time I try to camp somewhere, this is my camp, this is my camp, I couldn't. God would not let me put roots in. That's not been easy, by the way, when you have a global thing, vision in your heart, and you're confined because God's doing something. He says, listen, I can take you all over the world with what you have, but your effectiveness is going to be minimized for where you are with me. I'd rather hold that part back and have you keep climbing. Because if you keep climbing, you're going to have something you can take to the world. Amen? That's why we've been what we're doing. But now we have found what we're going to take to the world. It's the Father's great love. And when I came into the Father's great love, I said, this is home. This is what I've looked for. This is what I've longed for. This is where I'll dwell, and this is where I'll serve. It's from this table, Father. And then He said, now change the name. We bought that domain. We knew 5 years ago we were going to change the name. He says, now change the name. This Father's house will take it will be forged and formed, and it will come up and be built by the Lord Jesus and the Father Himself. You're going to see apostles rise out of this place, prophets, pastors, teachers, evangelists. You're going to see the King of Kings come in here. There's going to be a great transference of wealth. We're going to be a part of it. Hallelujah. There's a lot going to come forth from this little place. And I'm telling you prophetically, this is the year that this vision will birth. What is on those walls, if you don't know who we are, I would take a trip into that prayer room and find out who we are. Because it's written on the walls. Every one of those frames have constitutions in them. But this is the year. 28 years ago, I was given the word of the Lord for Zechariah 4, the golden lampstand. He said, this is your chapter. I'm like, I have no idea what two olive trees and a seven-pronged candle and continuous oil and some dude named Zerubbabel with seven eyes and seven horns. I mean, I don't know how does that pertain to my life? I'm brand new in the Lord, and the Lord giving me a chapter of Zechariah 4. That's what He starts me with. He said, this chapter is all you need to accomplish my will for your life. How can two olive trees, and a dude named Zerubbabel with a golden lampstand and two anointed ones. What has that to do? It took me 20 years to figure that out with the Holy Ghost. But that lampstand is the final move of God, the revelation of the king priest government. And that lampstand is going to get lit in this generation. And that lamp, that word is going to become flesh. I'm speaking by revelation this year, and it's going to dwell among men this year. It's going to birth. And it was waiting on the Father's love. And now there's a threefold cord, the word, the Father's love, and the dunamis, creative power, the continuous oil from the olive trees. Once that starts releasing in those three measures, the kingdom will leaven. And when the kingdom leavens, do you ladies, you like to bake, you put the leaven in there and the cake rises. When you have the right measures, the leaven, the faith will come with the measures of love, dunamis, and the word, and it's going to leaven the kingdom. Isn't that glorious?